Board of Equalization versus Mosier. Before you begin, we've got folks coming in and out of the courtroom. Mr. Zigg, do you have any questions before you begin?
No, Your Honor.
And Mr. Solheim, do you have any questions?
No, Your Honor. Thank you.
Mr. Zigg, you may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is Dan Zigg, and I represent Lancaster County Board of Equalization in this case. The case before you is not overly complex in terms of facts, and I don't believe the facts are really in dispute. The appellees own a piece of, well, they own several pieces of land, but this appeal deals with just one. It's an irrigated piece of farmland down in the southwest part of Lancaster County. As part of the property tax protest, the appellees identified a neighboring parcel referred to as the Morrison parcel that was also an irrigated piece of land, but the assessor had missed the center pivot on it, and it was treated as regular dry land. Because of that, the Morrison property was valued lower than the appellee's property. They presented some evidence to the referee, who hears these property protests, but the referee recommended that they stay with the assessor's value because it was the correct value. The Board of Equalization adopted that value, and the case proceeded then to TURC. There was no evidence before TURC about an alternative value for this piece of land. The sole question became whether or not it was equalized with the other irrigated piece of land that was nearby. The TURC found that it was not equalized and reduced the value of the appellee's property to the Morrison value.
So how does anybody, TURC or the Board of Equalization or anybody, how do you make it? Comparison for tax purposes to just one property?
It'd be very difficult. When you talk about an equalization argument, you have to look at the whole subclass of properties. Picking out an individual property within a subclass and trying to compare yourself to that property alone is enough to show that you're not equalized.
Is it supposed to be more of a systemic inquiry?
Yes, exactly. That's exactly what you were looking at, is has the assessor failed in valuing a subclass that you have now one sole outlier. Maybe you have one property that alone is valued at 100% of actual value, which is acceptable, but the rest of the subclass is at 80%. Now you have a problem where you have one property that is an outlier and needs to be brought into alliance with the rest of them, and the value should be reduced to 80%.
Let's assume for the moment that the assessor intentionally values the other person's property at 50% of the property owner's value. Isn't the long-standing remedy for another person's undervalued property to be equalized with that? The property owner doesn't have the ability to compel the county to adjust the value of the other person's property, do they?
They do. Under Nebraska law, you have the ability to protest anyone else's property value. It doesn't happen very often for reasons that are probably pretty obvious. You don't want to be protesting your neighbor's property because you have to live next to them. The other way that can happen is actually when this improvement is made aware to the assessor, they have the ability to go back and bring that omitted property onto the tax rolls. So if you had someone who built a house where there's no building permit taken out, and the assessor has no idea about it, and then we suddenly discover it, we can go back in time and say, we are now putting you back on the tax rolls, and we are going to assess you back to 2015, whenever the house was built. And that property then becomes liable for all those back taxes. So it could be accomplished in other ways.
In this situation, what remedy does the property owner that's the subject of this TURC proceeding have for the undervaluation of his neighbor's property?
The appellee should have protested the value of the Morrison property so that it is undervalued, and that should be brought into alliance with the rest of the irrigated properties.
So your view is that the law requires the property owner whose property is valued at 100% to go out and challenge anyone else's property
who is valued at less than 100%.
If they are aware of it, then that is certainly an option that they have. It becomes difficult, and I understand where you're going with this question, is that whose burden is this? Is it the assessors, is it the individual property owners? But again, this goes back to the assessor has a systematic approach to valuing these properties. Not only that, but then they're looked at through the statewide equalization process as well. If the assessor is intentionally undervaluing properties, they're going to get caught at some point, either by the statewide equalization process, and Turk says, the quality of your assessment is poor, we're going to reorder it, you reassess all the properties, or the Turk could make an adjustment themselves and say, you have them too low, we're going to move them up 5%, so they're into the proper compliance.
Is there any evidence in this case that the assessor deliberately undervalued the Morrison property?
No, I think the evidence was quite clear from the assessor that they had no idea that this pivot had been put on there. By Nebraska law, if you make an improvement over $3,500 to your property, you were supposed to file a form with the assessor alerting them that you made this improvement to trigger them to go back out and look at the property and reassess it. That never happened in this case. The assessor was completely unaware of it until it was brought to their attention through this protest process that this pivot even existed.
Can you remind the court of the standard of review from a Turk matter?
For this court standard review or for Turk standard review?
No, for us to look at what the Turk did.
I believe in this case it'd be a de novo review since this is a question of law, not a question of fact.
Are there any factual disputes in this case?
I don't believe so. I don't want to speak for Mr. Solheim, but I don't believe so. I think everyone kind of agrees what occurred here. The question just becomes, what does the law require to happen at that
point?
What
is the error of law that Turk engaged in?
Turk found that this was a failure of the equalization, that this Turk has a constitutional obligation, both uniform and equalized values. They found this was an equalization, so my belief is that that's a question of law, whether or not this is truly an equalization issue.
And why isn't it, in your opinion?
Again, you're looking at this whole subclass of properties. What you could have then is you're looking, when you talk about equalization, you want to compare apples to apples. In this case, you have an apple being compared to an orange. Yeah, they're similar, but it's...
Well, it depends on which fruit you're looking at, right? Both properties were irrigated.
Correct.
But one was classified as dry land, misclassified, and one was properly classified.
That's correct.
Are those comparable for purposes of equalization?
No, again, you have
them... And why not? Why should we look at the classification and not the actual property characteristics?
Because even if you have that one parcel that it's brought in there, it would have been valued the same as the Applebee's property in this case. You just have it put in the wrong classification. It's like taking a hotel and saying we're going to value it the same as a fast food restaurant. This is the wrong classification. It's not being valued the right way. That's not an equalization problem. That's a problem with catching an omitted improvement on a property, similar to someone were to put
a... I beg your pardon. So you're saying this isn't an equalization?
This is not an equalization problem.
What is this?
Well, arguably, it's an unbelievably misinterpretation by Turk of what their role is and what the whole evaluation system is.
I beg your pardon. So is this what Turk did? They reasoned that Morrison's got a good deal, so Mary's Farm should get a good deal too.
And everybody else should come in and get the same deal.
Is that how it would be in plain speak?
That'd be a fair way to sum it up, yes, Justice.
Do we have other cases where a misclassification requires equalization, so that other properties are similarly misclassified?
I can't think of any where that would happen, because again, if you had a property that's misclassified, you'd want to move it into the right classifications. The assessor has an obligation to value properties appropriately. I can't think of a situation where you have a property in the wrong classification, then you would move all of the properties into that classification.
But it's inevitable in Lancaster County, in the state of Nebraska, that assessors are going to make mistakes. And if the rule of law is that everybody gets dumbed down to the mistakes, that's a disaster, is it not?
It becomes a race to the bottom dollar, who can get the best deal.
Well, it would never be everybody, because
each individual owner would have to protest the value of their property, right? So those that don't protest aren't going to get the benefit of what perhaps might be characterized as dumbing down the value to the neighbor's value.
That's correct. That was part of the problem the Board of Equalization has put in, is everyone else now that has irrigated farmland, they're now shouldering this tax burden because one taxpayer protested. If this is going to be the rule, then every taxpayer in Lancaster County should protest every single year, and who knows what you might find out, and maybe you'll get it value reduced.
What's the limitations period on a protest? On filing a protest?
On filing a protest.
What's
in
the window? I'm sorry.
No. So the protest can be filed starting on June 1st until the end of June. The protest hearings are heard before referee through July, and then starting in August, they can begin the filing of their appeals to Turk, and that ends, I believe, on September 11th of the tax year, I believe.
So before any hearings are held before a referee or in perhaps in other counties before the Board of Equalization itself, the window for filing a protest has already closed.
Correct.
But it hasn't closed for the next year and the year after that.
Correct.
Well, but presumably the next year, one would assume the assessor is going to correctly calculate the neighbor's property, right?
Correct. There's always a bit of a delay that occurs, and sometimes because they have to certify the values by January 1st, so we don't get the protest in until September, and then they need to go pull the protest packet, see what evidence that they have. It's not uncommon for maybe to be a year or two before the assessor can really get caught up and make that change to a property if there is an omitted improvement.
Is that why these were bundled?
Yes.
Thank you. But how often do we, I just don't see these often enough to know. Is the bundling a common feature of these, just given the shelf life?
Yes, it is. The cases, unfortunately, they do move slow. When you have a number of cases that get appealed starting in September, they just can't be heard before January. So then on January 1, if you don't protest that new value for that year, you can then lose the ability to protest. And so they're advised and reminded, hey, you need to protest this tax year if you still have a case pending for a Turk. And so sometimes you might have 3-4 years, and at some point you end up trying to tackle this massive beast of a case that had one that's over 100 appeals pending. They grow exponentially.
Thank you.
Yeah. Same amount of time, I would ask that you affirm the values of the Board of Equalization.
Thank you very much. Mr. Solheim, good morning to you.
Good morning.
You may proceed.
May it please the court, my name is David Solheim from Crete, Nebraska, and I represent the taxpayers in this case, Brad and Mary Mosier.
Is there any factual dispute for us to focus on, or is it all a question of law?
I believe it's all a question of law. There's really no factual issues in dispute. I might mention a few that opposing counsel did not reference, but other than that, there's really no dispute. I did want to turn to your question about bundling these cases, and I don't want to take up too much of my time on that issue, but it is a problem, Your Honor, and you can probably see from the record in this case and the order entered by Turk that we had like over 20 cases heard on that day, and so the record for this particular case or cases is pretty brief, actually, because we only had a few minutes per case is how it kind of breaks down, and so that's a different issue for a different day, but it is a problem.
What information does Turk have before it when it makes a decision? Is it just the two pieces of property? Does it have a wider range of information to draw on?
Yes. So they have the information that is presented by the parties. And typically the county will bring in what I call the Board of Equalization packet, which will have the findings from the Board of Equalization, any information that was presented by the taxpayer during the protest process. Typically there are comparables that are compiled by the county and then offered as evidence. I don't know if that's before the decision, but that's typically part of the decision process.
Is this a situation where there are other comparables or just the Morrison property?
Well, there were many comparables referenced that day. Some of the taxpayers' comparables were not admitted. And so I think that there were other comparables discussed that day, but with respect to these two cases, I think the Morrison property is the only one, clearly the only one that Turk considered.
This is, from your perspective, this is not a case of the Board of Equalization having improperly valued the fair market value of your property. You're only seeking relief as to equalization.
That's correct.
Well, as I read the record, the request made by the taxpayer was framed as equalization, but it was really classify my property as dry land because that's how the Morrison property was classified and that's how you make them equal. Is that relief available in a proceeding like this?
I'm not sure that I...
A request to misclassify property so that they are the same?
I don't believe that that was the taxpayer's request, respectfully. I think that the effect might be the same. They wanted a lower assessment. And how you get there, I don't think they requested that they be classified as dry land, but they just wanted a lower assessment in line with a very comparable property right across the road.
Did your client testify?
I'm sorry?
Did the taxpayer testify?
Yes. At length.
And if that was the request, you're saying that the testimonial request may differ from the actual pleading?
I think that's right.
The actual
I don't remember her saying that, but if she did, that's not our request today.
Thank you.
Because I do think that that would be inappropriate. I mean, we're not asking to be misclassified. We just want to be equalized with the neighbor. And as you
And what is the effect of the fact that the neighbor's assessment was based on a misclassification?
Well,
that everyone admits.
You know, that's really a question of, like, whose problem is that? And so the taxpayer, as they stand on their farm and they look across the fence at the neighboring property, which is in all respects completely comparable. You could swap them and you would not know the difference. And what they know as they stand there is that they're being assessed at a lower number. They don't know why. You know, they don't know if that property is being protested or being disputed. They don't know if there's some valuation dispute.
But is there a systemic problem with the valuation of the properties if the reason they're valued differently is a misclassification? Is there an equalization problem or is there a classification problem?
I think there's an equalization problem, Your Honor. And I would point to this case. It's referenced in both of our briefs. It's the Zabawa versus Douglas County Board of Equalization. It's a Court of Appeals case from 2008. And that concerned two residential properties that were protesting simultaneously, but both were comparing to the same comparable property. And one of the protesters received equalization and one did not. And of course, the one who did not was not thrilled with that result and appealed it. And the Court of Appeals said, listen, the law requires the, quote, highly comparable, unquote, properties to be valued similarly. No exception where both property owners exercise their rights simultaneously. There is a plain duty on the Board of Equalization to equalize where there are disparate valuations of comparable properties based on one single comparable property.
Are properties that are classified dry land and not, and then classified as irrigated, are those comparable, whether the physical characteristics are the same or not?
It's a good question, Your Honor, and we have always considered, well, are these the same types of property? That's what determines whether they're comparable or not.
So classification is a word of art, right?
I suppose, Your Honor, yes.
Right, but, and is comparable? And let me just sort of fog up the question further, right? Is this a correct statement that classification and comparable are not synonymous?
Agree, 100%.
Okay.
And there are cases out there that talk about, well, are these properties comparable? There's this case from Burtis versus Washington County Board of Equalization where they were comparing home sites on properties that were some distance apart, but one was in a river bottom and one was on a bluff, and should these building sites be valued the same way? And they said, no, these really are not comparable. So they were looking at the physical characteristics of the land in that case. And to me, that's what makes things comparable. It's not what the assessor says, but you look at, is this the same type of property or not? And so, the Mosers, they protested in 2018. They protested 2019. They presented this evidence to the county year after year, protested 2020. And what else are they supposed to do? You know, the county presented testimony at Turk saying that this was an error. It was the fault of the Morrisons for not reporting it. You know, we don't have any reason to dispute that, but what is the neighboring landowner supposed to do.
Is the windfall to the Morrisons actually a damage to your client?
I think so, Your Honor, yes. You know, because there's, and this is repeated throughout the case law, that if you have, if the court has a choice between equalizing and finding the fair market value, they're supposed to equalize because the fairness is the primary interest here. It's not finding the fair market value, but it's the equalization that is the important thing. And these cases talk about, you know, the county describes their system where they have one assessment system. Properties in the extreme southwest corner of Lancaster County are assessed the same as properties in the extreme northeast part of the county, 50 miles apart.
That's following the law, is it not?
Well, so it is, Your Honor, but there are some counties that do it differently. You know, they have market areas. They try to break it down differently, you know, depending on the characteristics of the various markets. Well, the
but that's sort of beside the point in this case, isn't it?
Precisely, Your Honor. Yes, precisely. And so, you know, I've heard the comments from the court today. I do not think that this portends the doomsday scenario that that is being suggested, because it's just not that kind of case. This is a neighbor tax protest case where you have a neighbor looking across the fence saying that my neighbor is being treated differently than I am. The fundamental interest here is equalization, which I would...
Your property was assessed correctly, and the neighbor across the street's property was assessed incorrectly. Isn't the relief or the solution to the problem is to go to your neighbor's property and have that assessed properly?
If that's what the court does, that would be a change in precedent, Your Honor.
And what's the danger? What's the mischief that could happen if that becomes the rule?
Well, if that becomes the rule, where that's the only form of relief, you will see, I don't know, the county is correct. You know, property owners have an interest not to tattle on each other. You know, I mean, they have to live with each other and work with each other. And that's what, especially in the agricultural community, that's what you do. So I don't know how much of that will occur. But if that's the only result, you know, that's that kind of hollows out the whole concept of equalization.
But that's not this case. This case is Mary's Farm came in and wanted to be treated comparably to Morrison. They
correct.
Weren't there to rat on Morrison. They just wanted to be treated comparably. That's this case.
That's correct, Your Honor. And in fact, you know, so in 2020, you know, we appealed for 18, 19, and 20. By 2020, the county had figured this out. And you can look through those property record cards. They don't have the exhibit numbers. But you can look through them and see that the assessor is looking at that Morrison property. They looked at it in 18. And when I say looked at it, it says reviewed orthos, which I think is like a term for map or something. But they looked at it in 18. They looked at it in 19. And then by 20, they had finally corrected it. And Turk didn't give us relief for 20 because by 20 they were equal. But in the prior years they weren't. And that's the limited scope that we're focused on today, is those 2 years, 18 and 19, only.
And what rights being vindicated that an owner wants to be treated equally?
I think it's that fundamental fairness interest, which is, you know, that's the theme that traces through this case law. The choice between fair market value and equalization, choose equalization.
Is fundamental fairness offended by what everyone agrees is a mistake?
I think so, Your Honor, yes. And it's that particular nature of, it's not a comparing yourself to a property far off across the county. It's looking at your neighbor and saying, well, how come they're getting this deal and I'm not?
Isn't the source of your client's legal claim the uniformity clause of the Nebraska Constitution?
I suppose if you trace it all the way back, Your Honor, that's
but
right.
It's not the due process clause. It's not some fundamental fairness in a generic sense. I mean, if you trace what the legal source is the uniformity clause, isn't it?
Correct, Your Honor.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal. That concludes arguments in Lancaster County Board of Equalization versus Mosier.